Join me in John chapter 4 as we continue to make our way through the book of John. And as I was preparing for this week, knowing it would be communion and all, many times we go to a particular passage to support the communion message, but I love it when the Holy Spirit brings together just at the right time a passage which speaks so well to the table and its meaning. And this conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well, which many of us know well, lends itself wonderfully to a communion message. And so I pray that I can bring that about, and under the help of the Holy Spirit, I pray it would be so. Join me as I will bring to you the first 15 verses today. The inspired, holy, and errant Word of God. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with the Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks the water will be thirsty again. Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." I pray the Lord's blessing in reading of his word. Two questions I have for you as we take just a, what I might call an abbreviated look into this passage. Two questions for you. Are you thirsty? Are you a thirsty people? And where do we go? And to where do we seek? What do we seek to quench or satisfy that thirst? Well, the first thing we must understand that these are not questions that apply to us physically. These are spiritual questions. And I mean them in the spiritual context of thirst, hunger, yearning, desire. And also spiritually, where do we go? What do we seek to quench that thirst? To answer these questions, I will start by the obvious, and I hope you see it as obvious as well, that yes, we are a thirsty people. We have within us a desire to be quenched. That desire makes us a religious people. For you see, religion in a very generic, overriding way, a religion is something a person does and seeks and holds high. Anything greater than himself. And in that, the person sees that the devotion to that brings some reward, brings some fulfillment. In the fall, when God left Adam and Eve, that void was created. And immediately when that void was created, it created in us that religious fervor, that yearning, that desire. And from that point unto this time and until Jesus Christ comes again, that void will remain. And we will remain a thirsty people seeking to be filled. by something. We look to something outside ourselves, something we perceive greater than ourselves that will make us more than we are. So we seek, we search, we look for those things that can give us meaning, that can make us more than we are. The problem comes. The issue becomes, where do we look? What do we look for? What do we seek to fill that which would quench our thirst? Too many times we settle for the temporary. Too many times we settle for the earthly. So many times we settle for that and we accept that which a temporary world gives in its attempt to satisfy an eternal issue. I hope you there can see the problem. We have an eternal issue. The spiritualness that is within us is left yearning because of the absence of God. When we come to Jesus Christ, knowing Him in our salvation, then we are beginning to fill. And through our sanctification, we fill and fill and fill until we, at glorification, become that whole person. But on this side of glorification, we do have that yearning. But all too many times, we settle for that which is temporary to satisfy the eternal. The woman at the well. Much has been made about the woman at the well. As you read on into the story, many of you know she had several husbands, and the man she was with at this time was not her husband. Jesus knew full well this, and he began to move her around in his conversation to where he could get to that point and resolve in her life the yearning which she had. Jesus met the woman. They began a conversation. And Jesus knew that she had tried many things in her life to fulfill her desire. Now, I'll state quite clearly here that we don't know a lot about this woman. We try to perceive a great deal and get into conjecture. But what we see in her lifestyle of being this woman who has several husbands, that's simply a symptom. There is something going on in her life that she is continually trying to fulfill through all those different occasions and different husbands, and now she's living with a man. We don't know her childhood. We don't know her life. We don't know what happened, what caused this issue, but I believe in my heart the different husbands, those are just symptoms. She's reaching out. She's trying this. We don't know why the one husband's gone and another. There's so much we don't know, but I feel confident that these were just symptoms. This dear lady was confused, and she was trying the different things to fulfill her life. And Jesus took the occasion at the meeting of the well to teach her eternal things. Thankfully, this woman does become a convert. More than that, she becomes an evangelist, of which we will talk about next week. But he converted her by showing her her ignorance. He converted her by showing her her need. She asked, "Sir, give me this water. Sir, give me this water so that I don't have to return." She began to understand a little bit about the water of which he spoke, but she still kept it in physical terms. She had not yet quite grasped the spiritual nature by which Jesus was talking about. Jesus said to her, "Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up in eternal life." Jesus was talking about salvation. The woman at the well was talking about not having to work so hard. She had not yet made that connection. While she was confused in her life, she was also confused about these things of Jesus Christ. Rightly so, she had not been taught. There was a great contrast between what she was thinking in her confusion and what Jesus offered. She was thinking of Jacob's well, which cannot prevent one from growing thirsty again. You drink from the well today, you'll be back tomorrow. But Jesus was speaking of regeneration. Jesus was speaking of becoming a new person. She was thinking of that which was limited in quantity. She would fill her jars today. Tomorrow she would be back. Jesus was speaking of that perpetual spring that wells up from the inside, from the Holy Spirit, which comes as we are renewed. The lady at the well was confused and blinded by her sin. Jesus sought to correct that by teaching her. I can't help but to think and think on we in our day, we in our lives. As I said, we are a thirsty people. We are a religious people. We have a yearning, every one of us. Every one of us has a desire to be. And you can fill in the blank. But we are confused. Where do we go to satisfy that desire? What do we hold up as that thing that will make us, lead us to be that which we desire to be? This world has many distractions. And we have fallen prey to many of those distractions. We have been taught, as we were talking a little bit in Sunday school, about our work, our jobs, our homes, our lifestyles. We look at our jobs as a means of fulfilling. As I said in Sunday school, especially we men hold up our employments as an identification of a value system that makes us who we are. We are defined by our employers, our employment, many times. Money. The capacity, the amount, how we hold money, many times describes, identifies, values who we are. The economy. Wow, there's one. Too many times, way too often, we look at the economy to define the wealth and health of a church. If the economy's bad, then the church must be having a hard time. Really? I thought this was God's. But yet we look at the economy and the stock market to determine whether or not we will be happy today. Stock market's up. It's good. Let's be happy. Stock market's down. 232 points. Our families. Families are incredibly important. Families are incredibly important. But if we use that family as that thing which defines and fulfills who we are, one day that family is going to be gone. And where are we? Children. You know me, I love my kids. I was not ready to stop being a daddy when Marley passed. I was not ready to stop being a daddy. But how many of us live our lives with our children as the center of our world? And then when the children grow up and move out of the home, what happens to home? Great challenges. Because the center's gone. There are so many things. Even in the church, we are confused. Being involved in church is one of the greatest things we can do. Being involved in the Lord's work is one of the greatest things we can do. But what's our motive for being involved? Is it because someone guilted us into doing it? If I don't do it, she's going to fuss at me. But we're involved in church many times because it makes us feel good and we are doing good for others and we're helping other people. That's all great stuff. But is Jesus Christ first and foremost in the why we do what we do? Much of church is confusing. Why do we come to worship? Because Jesus Christ is first and foremost in our lives and we come to join together in worship. We are a thirsty people. We move from thing to try to define and fulfill and help us become more than what we are. I was guilty of that. Just a bit of personal testimony. Those of you who know, we moved 18 times before I moved here. 18 times. And part of that desire was to fulfill or feed that yearning to be something. I grew up in an extremely poor family. My mom worked at a florist and $60 a week for five people. My mom did things with chicken you didn't think was possible. But leaving that, moving into the workforce, I wanted to be something. And nothing ever satisfied. Until I got the call to be a pastor. It was like, whoa, this has been it all along. This has been it all along. What is it for you? Some of you are searching. I know you well. And the easiest answer is the one most overlooked. Living a life for Jesus Christ. Which may mean you leave parts of your life now. Which may mean you change your lifestyle. Which may mean you change your home structure. Which may mean you leave this church and go into the mission field. Can you do that? Quenching the thirst. That's what this table's about. This table represents the ultimate satisfaction of the yearning and the desire that's within us. And if we look any other place to try to satisfy that, then in time, it'll rear its ugly head again. Where are you right now with Jesus Christ? As I said last week, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. What does it mean to be born again? An entirely new creation. Not Christianizing an old, necessarily, but a new creation. You don't look like, you don't act like, you don't think like that which you were before. Now, I will confess to you, it's an easy answer, but it's a challenging process. And if we're not dependent daily in prayer and the work of the Holy Spirit, then it's so easy to get off track. The thirst we have within us is the yearning for that which left. And that's Jesus Christ.